You're listening to DraftKings Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV, copyright 2024, Proximo, Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
Chris, before Ray Romano comes on with us, one of the great choke jobs in the history of our show is you setting up for the audience while in Tahoe with your family that Ray Romano is sort of a relative, that he is somebody that is distant in the family but a part of your family. You were going to speak to him, introduce yourself to him in Tahoe. He takes a tee shot, hits it into your freckled pink thigh, and while coming over and totally vulnerable, you could have had a conversation. You could have gotten money from him in that spot. You could have blackmailed him. You could have gotten certainly a conversation where he would have been heartily embracing you. You're a member of my family. You could have started a relationship with Ray Romano there. Instead, you slinked into the bushes.
I could have gotten content for you is basically what you're saying. But in that moment, Dan, I wasn't thinking about content. I was thinking about my family member. I'm mic'd up. He's walking over. He doesn't know I'm mic'd up. There's a lot of people watching him. There's a lot of people kind of mocking him because he just hit a really embarrassing shot. A lot of that's going through my head, and I panicked. And I was like, I don't want our first interaction to be an on-air, gotcha kind of conversation. So I was just like, you know what? I'm going to be the coward. Dan's going to hate me, but I'm just like so scared. I don't want Ray Romano to come away from this hating me. So I chickened.
Your first interaction, wasn't a conversation between you two. Your first interaction was he hit you with a scalding golf ball.
I did kind of have that to hang over his head.
Was it scalding though?
It was a seed. Yeah. It could have been really bad. It could have been my face that it hit. Could have been, where I make children. I plan to do that again, hopefully, if my wife's listening. Mm-hmm. Can we get on that?
That's
a conversation
news
for a different day.
It is, yes.
Thank you, Billy, for the clarification that we were talking about Chris Cody's wiener. Mm-hmm. Speaking of which, before Ray Romano shows up here, the shower conversation I promised is Chris Cody playing a dangerous game when he does blank, because I have not heard people do this. I don't believe people do this. I can't believe that you do this.
I am new to the early morning shower. I used to be a night showerer, but in recent, I'd say months, I've started showering in the mornings, and sometimes I'm tired. So sometimes I get up and I take the shower and I realize, you know what? I don't got to be there till blank o'clock. I feel like I got 10 more minutes to take a post shower, lay back in bed and go to sleep, a little nappy poo.
Oh.
It is a dangerous game, I admit.
Very dangerous.
But it's so nice to be able to, like, that little 10-minute cushion, you just lay down. Does anyone else play this dangerous game?
No.
No, because it's dangerous. I mean, once you're up, especially after you've showered. That's it. Like, you go attack the day. You don't lay back down. I mean, what are you doing, man?
I mean, we all have a time we like to be to work. All right? If you do the math with the traffic, it's just like sometimes you're really tired. It usually happens on a Monday. You guys know that Monday feeling? A little Monday nappy poo? Yeah.
Put it on the poll, please, at Levitard Show. Do you know that Monday feeling? Have you ever called it a little nappy poo? And I also want to know the showering habits of our audience. Do you shower at night? Do you shower in the morning? Do you shower both? Or do you shower neither?
How do showers always know what you need, right? Because if you're going to go to bed, sometimes you take a quick shower before bed. It calms you down. You go right to sleep. If you need to wake up in the morning and take a quick shower, it wakes you right up. Showers just seem to know, huh?
Put that on the poll, please. Yeah, showers just seem to know?
Huh? Do showers just seem to know, huh? Billy, you would never take a shower and then try to sleep for 6 more minutes.
No, I mean, well, okay. So I have about 800 alarms set every morning that go off about every 3 minutes. And then I always hit snooze. So then it goes down to every 2 minutes. So it's just a constant thing where I'm snooze, snooze, snooze. And every minute or two, an alarm is going off of some sort. And it's because I don't want to get up. I would never think, let me get up, let me wake up and then go back to sleep. Because then I'm not going to get up again.
That is a dangerous game of setting the alarm. Like when I am doing this little post-shower nap, I'm like, I have to set an alarm for in 11 minutes. And you're always second-guessing yourself on whether it's like whether you got the right time. Like when you're setting an alarm, you always have to make sure you got the AM, PM right. It's a dangerous game because you don't want to wake up and all of a sudden it's noon.
A smile just flashed across Roy's face, which is always worth talking about. Roy, why are you smiling?
The Florida Panthers have decided to buy out Keith Yandel's contract, and it is a joyous occasion here in this side of the production studio.
Yandy!
Put it on the poll at Levitard Show. Are you a snooze button person? Yes or no?
That's a dangerous game. I was reading an article. If you hit the snooze button once, you'll be exhausted the rest of the day. Like when that thing goes off, the alarm, you just got to get up and attack the day. That's what I do. I mean, every single day.
I do.
Carpe dumb.
Yeah.
It's a killer to go back to sleep. The snooze button is the worst thing ever invented.
I agree.
In my opinion. What you have to do, I've mastered the art of dozing while showering, which is something that it's like a multitask thing. You can actually, like an elephant, you can actually sleep a little bit while standing up. You go through the motions. All of a sudden, you're 10 minutes into the shower. You've dozed off. You wake up. Your hair is washed. You're soaped up. You did it while you shower slept is what
I've
you
read
did.
That.
Yeah, right? It's true. It's a thing. I mean, look it up. Google it. Google it. Google everything. Christ.
Ray Romano is with us now. He is a family member of that guy right there who's telling you to Google. He's telling you to Google whether or not you can doze in the shower right. while standing up like an elephant.
It is true.
That is what Ray Romano's... This is his family.
I think Ray would appreciate that,
it's,
though.
Well, it's not so bad. He's on HBO Max right now, and I believe he's married to a sex doll. So I think Made for Love...
That's a great show.
He's gone. Yes, he's gone. He's gone away from... the sitcom world, and he is playing darker. And I've always imagined that Ray Romano was actually darker and was just doing a sitcom because it was fun to do a sitcom. But instead of just making those assumptions, we welcome him in now. And I don't know what the history is, whether he actually knows or remembers. Has someone actually told him, hey, you hit a family member with that scalding golf ball? Are you aware, Ray Romano, of the damage you did with your tee shot? And thank you for joining us.
Well, first of all, yeah, everybody told me. I mean, I'm not on social media, but my kids are, and my kids got a bunch of stuff from I guess Chris sent something to my daughter, or did you send something to my daughter? I'm not sure.
Yeah, I did, and Greg.
Right. But stay away from them. Anyway, but they told me right away, and... Actually, my cousin told me that you were in the tournament a couple of days before. He texted me, Al, your father-in-law, I guess, right? And told me that you were there and you would come over and say hello or something if you saw me. But that didn't happen, so I had to go to you.
You sound incredibly bored by your family member, and I don't blame you because I know them and I recognize the feeling. You sound like you're barely tolerating these people.
No. You should have said something. I mean,
I'm a coward. I'm a coward, Ray.
And by the way, I don't know where I hit you with the ball. Was it I thought it was in the crotch. I thought I got you right in the groin.
It was inner thigh, my inner right thigh.
Oh, boy. Yeah, but everything's okay, though?
A little bruised, but we're good, man.
What was your level of shame, Ray? How often has this happened? You play in celebrity golf tournaments. You're a pretty good golfer.
No, I'm not that good. But here's the truth. You were the second person I hit that day. I'm not kidding. But the other one was even more serious. The other one was a line drive off the tee, and it hit a young kid in his 20s, maybe, in the shin.
Oh, that's the worst part.
Yeah, he had a Raider shirt on, so I'm sure he's tough, you know. But it didn't bother, you know. He was okay, and I took a picture with him. But that was earlier that day. I hit as many people as I parred that day. I parred two holes, serious. And by the way, I don't know if you know this, I parred that hole that I hit you on. That was
wow. Well, up and down, huh?
Nice. That seems impossible.
I got it on the green. And if you remember, I poked it out, and then my caddy came and said that you kicked the ball.
Inadvertently. Sorry about that.
Yeah. But so that we put the ball back where, after I poked it out, he said, no. He kicked the ball. So we put the ball back where it was, and I got it on the green, and I made like a 25-foot.
A little up and down.
Par number two of the day for me, and that was it. But also, 3 years ago, this is, you know, I've been playing. That's my 17th year playing in that thing. 3 years ago, I put a woman in the hospital, and I'm not
right.
kidding. I hit her in the head. Yeah, but it was like a 9-iron, and it was about 145 yards, and I kind of scolded a little bit, and we yelled four, and she didn't get out of the way. I hit a dead center in the forehead,
jeez.
And I didn't even know. And then when we got up to the green, I heard people yell saying, stay awake, Nancy. Stay awake. She was on the ground.
Oh, no.
Trying to keep her awake, yes. And it ended up she was okay, but she had to go to the hospital.
Jeez.
And, you know, I sent her some stuff. I don't have to send you any stuff, do I, Chris?
No, you're good.
Okay.
Chris.
Nice. New set of irons, maybe.
I mean, he came on the show. I think that's all Chris wanted, right?
Yeah. She didn't have a show. She didn't have a show to go on. There's people everywhere, and we're all hackers, you know. So it happens a lot out there. But I was having the crappiest day of my life out there that day. You know, you were part of it.
That is the Cody mantra.
Perfect.
Right there. I was having the crappiest day of my life, and you were part of it. It's like a card. It's the opposite of a greeting card. Billy, you were trying to say something.
Well, I'm just wondering, at any point are these like warning signs going to catch up that you keep hospitalizing
people? You're a huge liability.
Why do they keep inviting you back?
You're
right?
A golf course menace. What's the number of people you've hit with a scalding golf ball?
I guess I average. Look, I hit two that day. I didn't hit anybody else that weekend, but I would say I average one person each time I play in one of those things. You know, Pebble Beach 2, I've hit some people. You know, I mean, there's thousands of people there, and we're not pros. You know, I mean, you were at that tee box. You must have seen some balls go into the crowd and people yelling.
Not as bad as yours, right?
What's that?
Not as bad as yours, he said.
Yeah. No, that was horrible. That was an embarrassing shank. But look at what happened from it.
This glorious moment is what we
family.
Have to show. A family's reunited. Love is born. How is it that you've not? Have you developed an immunity to the shame involved with hitting one of the people who is there while a lot of people are watching you?
Well, look, you don't want to hit somebody, of course not. But the shame of just hitting a bad shot, it sucks, especially on TV. I don't think that got on TV. I don't think they aired that, but the cameras are there. But after, you know, I've hit great shots on TV also. So it's the good with the bad. And after... People know. People aren't even fazed by it because they know we're not pros, you know. When I play in Pebble, it's the same thing. You know, you, on the first tee box, your nerves are the highest because these are people are going to be watching you for the first time. But after a while, everybody knows we're going to hit shitty. Sorry, can I say that?
Yep.
We're going to hit crappy shots. You know, we're going to hit some good, some bad. I'm. By the way, I don't know how good you guys think I am, but I'm like a 13, 14 handicap. So I'm going to hit my share of crappy shots, and I'm going to hit great shots too. But yeah, I mean the problem is my caddy. He's my best friend from New York.
Right.
He does it every time for me. And the crap I get from him, you know, he's the most, you know, normally your caddy is supposed to be a positive factor.
Sure.
No. Right. Just the opposite. This guy will rag on me, you know. I mean, he'll say things like, I'll say, can I hit, you know, we'll be waiting in the fairway. And I'll go, can I hit now? And he said, this is what he said to me. He goes, yeah, you can hit. There's nobody in the water.
Love it.
I don't want to replace your caddy, but perhaps, you know, maybe you owe it to a family member to let him caddy for
he's
you next year.
He's done enough.
Yeah. I don't know if he's is he technically a family member?
That's a good debate right there. Yeah. We should have.
He was ashamed.
Cousin-in-law, I guess, is what it goes down to, right? Comes down to.
He winced a little bit. He winced a little bit when I introduced you and said that you were in love with a sex doll on Made for Love on HBO Max. He didn't think that was a good way to introduce you. And I'm like, Ray probably is okay with that, given that he took a part where he's in love with a sex doll.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. That's, I mean, it's not, it's my character who's in love with the sex doll, but that's what it, that's the truth. That's part of that is the show. You know, there's a deep connection there. It's not just a perverted love. There's a, you know, this guy's kind of, he's a sad, lonely widower, and he doesn't want to have a relationship. There's more to it, actually. He's actually dying of cancer, and he doesn't want to risk, you know, having a relationship and with a real person, so he's seeks out this alternative, and I'm fine with it. They pay me a lot to have sex with that doll.
That is a great sentence. I thought your best half sentence was going to be when I played Pebble, but no, it's they pay me a lot to have sex with that doll. You look at your body of work because you did The Irishman. When have you arrived in a place, Ray, where you're doing something that artistically fulfills you the most because you're saying to yourself as you're doing it, I love the writing of this, the depth of the script. What, like, you just, obviously, you're doing something where you're trying to send us a message through the absurdity, the comedic absurdity of being in love with a sex doll.
Well, I didn't write it. I didn't write that. But after the sitcom, what attracted me was doing something, you know, I definitely didn't want to do that again. I got offered that a lot, you know, to do other sitcoms, and that was, I wasn't going to, go there, you know, I was going to leave my sitcom legacy alone. And I had no desire really. And I, you know, the doing something a bit dramatic was scary but intriguing, and it took a while. It took a while for people to even want to cast me in anything like that. It was little by little baby steps. You know, people had to see me. I did a show called Men of a Certain Age first, and then I did Parenthood, and then I did a couple movies. I did The Big Sick, and then I got lucky because I got somehow I got into Scorsese's Rolodex through the show Vinyl. I did the show Vinyl on HBO, which Scorsese directed. Once you're in his, you know, once he likes you, he uses you. He uses people over and over again, and he just asked me to be in The Irishman. You know, I got into that, and now. Yeah, so now that's kind of what what I'm interested in is doing, you know, something a little bit dramatic. I also just wrote a movie and directed it. We just finished and we're editing it now. So that scared the hell out of me, because that was the first time I ever did that. And it's a dramedy, filmed in Queens, New York. But that's kind of, yeah, I mean, look, I'm lucky. I don't need to pick anything for the money now. I pick it if it interests me, if it, you know, gets me excited to do it. My wife has all the money she needs, believe it or not. I get to choose what I want to do, and the drama is still something I'm drawn to. You know what? You know what's good about it is, I don't know. I don't know how good I am at it. You know, I mean, doing stand up, doing comedy, I kind of know I can do that. Drama is still a challenge for me, and I like it. That's why it's like golf. You know, you're never going to get great at it, but you just keep doing it. You keep trying to get better. And sometimes you don't, obviously.
Can you answer a question for us that no longer has to be hypothetical? If Chris Cody had taken that moment that you scalded him with a golf ball and tried to extrapolate it into maximum gain for himself and the show in that moment, because you were vulnerable having hit him, what could he have done and what more would he have gotten from you in terms of interaction if, for example, you had recognized that the one in a billion shot is you just hit somebody who's in your extended family?
Well, no offense, but I wouldn't have recognized him.
None taken.
If he had said, I'm Chrissy's husband, first of all, I would have had oh, Chrissy. Oh, that's okay. By the way, I don't know if you call a Chrissy. I remember them calling them Chrissy and Corey because they were twins. Yeah. So I wouldn't have, I would have had a place it. And if he had told me right there, you know, we would have had a moment. I would have said something. Maybe, you know, they were filming it, so that would have been a cool thing for me to bring it up to the cameras. You know, I would have maybe said something to whoever was there, whatever coverage we were getting, and that might have got on. You know, who knows? That might have got on the broadcast because the odds of it are crazy.
That's right.
Yeah. And, you know, maybe somebody sees him. Maybe he gets an offer and maybe he doesn't have to work for you guys.
That's right. He could have been in the Irishman. Yes. He's working with Scorsese. Right. Yes, right. That's exactly right. Instead, he just said, oh, shit, and then went into the bushes. Thank you.
I have a question. I saw the thing on YouTube that you guys did with me leading up to there. Now, I don't know if you want to reveal this or not, but was that legit? Did you do that before I had gotten to that hole, or is that something you guys did after it happened?
1,000% legit. We just thought that you were going to walk by down the fairway, and I'd be like, oh, family member, like longing for you, and that was the bit we had planned, and then
really?
You drilled me.
I watched and I thought, oh, I wonder if they did this after, because it's such a great, cool thing.
But he fell apart and then choked, and he didn't give us the payoff of actually interacting with you. You just shuffled
off. I was looking out for my man, Ray. I don't want to put him on a hot mic when he doesn't know. I got to watch out for my fam.
Well, what would you have done if I hadn't hit you? Were you going to come up and say something?
I think as you walked down the fairway, I just was going to, like, from 20 feet away, like, to my camera, just be like, Ray, my family member, like, longing for you. Like, that was kind of...
Yeah, but my family member, that doesn't... That everybody says that on it.
Yeah.
That would not have worked, Chris.
Yeah, that is why we left
the end goal. The end game was you not leaving the interaction hating me. Did I succeed?
No, I didn't hate you. Are you kidding?
Well, there you go.
I thought I hurt you. Yeah. I felt bad for you. I was worried about you. I go, oh, shit, that's two lawsuits in one day. Right?
Thank you, Ray. We appreciate the time and the content, sir.
All right. right. I appreciate it. And I guess, Chris, I'll see you somewhere down the road.
Yeah.
Right. You're never going to see him
no,
again.
No, you know.
Later, fam.
I'll see him at, like, my daughter's wedding or something, right? Or something like
yep.
that.
Yep. I'll be there.
All right, guys. Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Ray.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Most of you listening right now are probably multitasking. Yep, while you're listening to me talk, you're probably also driving, cleaning, exercising, or maybe even grocery shopping. But if you're not in some kind of moving vehicle, there's something else you can be doing right now. Getting an auto quote from Progressive Insurance. It's easy, and you could save money by doing it right from your phone. Drivers who save by switching to Progressive save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Discounts for having multiple vehicles on your policy, being a homeowner, and more. So just like your favorite podcast, Progressive will be with you 24/7, 365 days a year, so you're protected no matter what. Multitask right now. Quote your car insurance at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Don Lebatard.
Well, Charlie, as far as I know, so just Charlie's title in my
Are you going to say anything? Stugatz.
How familiar were you at the time with Chewbacca? Like, how your upbringing had how much Chewbacca in it?
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugatz.
It's good to see Greg. I haven't seen Greg in about a month and a half, but we've had something in these studios that is massive. That was sent to him, and I got to get this off of our hands, so I'm just going to walk it in there. Chris, you have some details on what this is?
This was people from the Clevelander were like, what the hell are you guys getting sent here? This was an odd package, to say the least, and it came with a note, and I'll just read it here. To the Miami Herald's greatest underwear columnist, the PFPI league commissioner, like other leaders, deserves a great staff. Please accept this visual representation of your metaphoric staff. May it help you get Zagaki where you need to go. Damn it.
Very nice, except for, of course, Chris Cody being incompetent at the end. Here comes the giant staff.
It's going to sit with you all week.
It doesn't quite fit into the room. Mike is trying to get in here. It is lovely, though. It's bejeweled. It is a bejeweled staff.
It's engraved.
It is beautiful, man.
It is for the PFPIs. Who needs me is engraved on the side of it.
Is that going to turn into a snake? This is not going to go well, my dad holding it. Here we go.
Nope.
What is this, like 8 feet long?
It is very long, yes.
It has our names engraved in it. It has all our names engraved there. That's pretty special, amazing.
The starting point of this, I believe, is Greg Cody said he wanted to be the president of the United States because he wanted a staff. That's not the kind of staff he was talking about. You don't have to be the president of the United States in order to get a staff. And then it became, how do we get him an actual staff so he could be the commissioner of his fantasy football league with a staff?
But I think even average leaders are made to be great leaders just by holding a staff. I really do. It makes you a great leader just holding it.
This is fantastic. I want to thank whoever took the time and the effort to mail this. It's I feel like it's empowering. I almost feel like just holding it is like a cosmic energy that's being imbued.
I think Sugaz's point is great. A lot of great leaders have had assistants walking with a walking staff. You're talking about Gandalf in literature, Moses from the Bible, Donnie Walsh.
Holy Moses. Wow.
I thought his was a wheelchair.
It was.
It was.
It's funny, though.
Riley went in with rings.
The old guy with a deep voice from Boys to Men.
I don't think, Mike, that you realize that you're now so old that when you make a Donnie Walsh
joke. I made a Little Rascals reference. And the Boys to Men one is a pool, let me tell you. You know he left Boys to Men because he wanted to fulfill his lifelong dream of being an accountant?
Why was that not covered? Why was that not covered in This Is Pop, the Netflix story of Boys to Men? Because I did not know some of this stuff that was in this documentary about, it's the first episode of a series of episodes. The first two I've seen are interesting. One is on the history of Auto-Tune, which was interesting. And then it was the first one, Boys to Men. I had no idea that they birthed, that even there, white people were stealing from black people when it came to music, that Backstreet Boys and everyone else, that they were stealing from Boys to Men. I did not know that Boys to Men went from popular to cheesy, and it was enormously popular. I did not know they were that popular. Number one hits across many, many weeks, not seen since Elvis, but I did not know that they went from popular to cheesy, at least in part because of how quickly music changed from, hey, the black guys are just wearing the same outfits and they're adorable, to here come Tupac and the rest of hip-hop and they're going to change all of music and boy bands aren't going to be cool. But they didn't actually cover in any way why Boys to Men broke up. And it seems to be an incredibly sensitive topic. And now it seems that they are just boys to men, because they don't get along anymore. It's just two men. It's maybe it's three of them, but one of them didn't seem like he was that comfortable with the others.
I'm sure that they wanted to cover that in the This Is Pop episode, but they weren't really getting a lot of compliance from the active Boys to Men members, and baritone voice with the walking staff that quit certainly doesn't want to talk about his time. It was mad awkward when they tried to explore that space because Boys to Men shut it down.
How's the staff doing? Are you going to take it home? Are you going to forget it? You're just going to leave it here? How's this going to work?
I am genuinely concerned whether it's going to fit in my car.
Yeah, you have a Corvette.
And for that,
it's not going to fit in your car.
It will not. And for that reason.
Out the window, perhaps.
Out both windows under your chin. That seems safe.
Do you have a moonroof?
I do have a removable roof, but, I just saw Godzilla meets King Kong. And in that movie, King Kong has a stick like about this size, and he throws it like a javelin and actually pierces the cosmos. Like millions of miles, he throws this millions of miles. If I could do that and throw this all the way to my home, that would be fantastic.
He's talking about watching that movie. He did it on the flight back from Tahoe.
Of course.
My dad did something on that flight that I've never seen anyone do. He watched movies for a lot of the flight, and he fell asleep late in the flight. He slept through the landing. The plane, you know, that like the brakes where it's like, like 2 minutes, and he literally did not wake up for like 3 minutes after we had already been on the ground. He just kind of casually like opened his eyes like, did I miss anything? I'm like, that is insane.
That's impressive. I've only seen that a handful of times. It's always on the red eye from Vegas.
Yeah, coincidentally enough.
They don't want to get off. There have been times where I just don't want to get off that red eye. I just want to stay there sleeping.
Right. Yeah. Especially when you're losing the casino like I did. You know, you never want to wake up again.
And how many beers were you having with all that freedom?
Who keeps track, really? Come on.
Guillermo,
except my wife.
Put it on the poll at Levitard Show. Have you ever slept through an airplane landing?
I mean, the wheels hitting the ground, that seems impossible.
All of it. It's abrupt. I don't know what your normal sleeping patterns are, but it seems like something that would jostle you awake. Maybe a very good pilot just lands on a feather.
All the announcements before you land, like nothing.
All of it.
Nothing. I told you I sleep in the shower. I sleep during land. I can sleep on a bed of nails, I swear.
But no one like taps you to put your seat back in its original position. None of that. The tray table.
Well, my seat is never back.
He's just chin on his chest.
What?
Sleeping. Right. He's just chin on the chest.
I start off like this, and then I end up like this. It's sad, really.
This is mostly an audio effort here.
Like this. Right.
Yeah,
like
this.
But everyone knows.
The way that his voice traveled while he did that really painted a vivid picture.
It did. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate
I'm jealous.
About what, Billy?
I wish I could do that. I wish I could do any of that. I can't. I can't sleep on a plane. Sometimes I lift my feet off the ground of the plane just because I feel like the, you know, the vibrations of just flying. And I'm like, this makes me uncomfortable. I'm not a good flyer. I wish I could just fall asleep.
Wow. I could sleep on the wing of a plane.
Really?
Yeah, I really could. While it's in flight. I don't mean on the tarmac.
Jokes. He's dangerous. And reruns with these jokes. And it's just, it's really frustrating.
Why?
Good night, everybody. Tip your waitresses.
It's 11:37 a.m.
He said, actually, before our flight, because we actually had some flight troubles on the way to Tahoe. So on our connecting flight, we actually ended up in a middle seat going from our connecting flight to Tahoe. And he had said previously that he'd sit on the wing of the plane before sitting in the middle seat. But that didn't happen.
Oh, yeah.
Did you offer?
I'd rather. I mean, the middle seat is the worst.
The worst.
Oh, my gosh.
Yep.
One of the many life lessons that I took from the Die Hard film franchise is when I get on a plane, I just scrunch my toes across the carpet. Really centers me. I'm just kidding. I think people would take their shoes off in airplanes or animals. I just wanted to say that. I take life lessons from Die Hard.
Even though you know it's the wheels coming down or going up, does that, you get nervous every single time.
Yeah, I don't like that noise.
I can't stand that noise. It haunts me.
Greg, do you sleep every flight? Because I feel like if you sleep the way that you described, where you just put your head straight down, the middle seat should be reserved for sleepers, right? Because the window seat is a waste if it's used by someone who's sleeping. And the aisle seat, you're kind of a burden if you're sleeping in the aisle. So the middle seat is kind of like prime sleeping real estate, I would think.
I love sleeping during a flight. I just do. It you know, the alternative is to stay awake and be terrified. So when I fall asleep, I'm in the ultimate relaxed state. You know, it's like falling asleep Saturday while Chris Schenkel described bowling on TV. You know, it's that same soft sound that is just...
What are you talking about?
It's a lullaby.
No, I know what he's saying. Yeah.
Who's Chris Schenkel? You got to be kidding me.
Legend.
I don't know who Chris Schenkel is. A legend.
Him and Kurt Gowdy.
Oh,
Raised television.
Okay.
Pioneers, some would say.
Damn right.
I would imagine if you're sleeping that heavy, you're also snoring, are you not?
I don't snore, although my wife may disagree. After I've had a few beers, I may snore. But
so you snore?
No, because when you get, we were driving to the airport in an Uber at like 5 in the morning. So no, I had not been drinking except a couple hours earlier in the casino. But I was not snoring on that flight.
Were you drooling? Because if your head is, if your chin is resting on your chest, that is prime conditions for drooling on the airplane.
No, I don't drool when my nasal passage is clear. I'm a beautiful nasal breather. My mouth never opens. My mouth is clamped.
Let's hear
shut
it.
Like a crocodile.
Let's hear
when
it.
I'm asleep.
Let's hear. Give us some breathing.
Ooh. I tell you, I take a deep breath in my pulmonologist's office. He raves about my lung
capacity.
I'm
not buying that one.
He
man.
Raves no about way. My lung capacity. I swear. I'll get him on
you
the phone.
You have asthma.
I know I do. That's why he's
get
raving.
Get him on the phone. Get him on the phone.
There's no way he raves about that.
You had a benign tumor on your lung.
I used to. It was extracted. The sound of the stethoscope on my lungs puts him in a euphoric state. He says that for my age, my breathing, when everything is clear, is just phenomenal.
Guillermo, put it on the poll, please. Does your pulmonologist rave about your lung capacity?
Mine yes does.
Or no? Yes, you mentioned
get
that.
A new doctor, man.
Oh, he's great. He's my favorite of all my medical staff.
One story that we should put a bow on for the week, because we have obsessed over it. For those of you who are interested in the little sports media soap operas, I found the timing of a leak yesterday to be interesting. Before the game, before there would be a result that would take leverage to the point that Maria Taylor may or may not sit out a game 6 on Disney television, right before the game was played that Phoenix could have won and made that a series that ended in 5 games, bang, there's a leak. She's close to going to NBC. And the reason I thought the leak was interesting is just because, okay, ESPN, here you go. It's on the doorstep with NBC. Let's see what your best offer is here before game 6 and see if your star talent sits this out game 6 and then leaves the company because she doesn't like what your situation is on diversity and just leaves to further her career as the report comes out that she's on the doorstep of joining NBC. And I've heard from a couple of people now enough to feel like it's strong. This ain't about money. And if it's not because ESPN doesn't have the best offer, if all you care about is money.
NBC makes a lot of sense. I kind of do this thing where I don't really pay attention to all the sports properties that they have. I know they're phasing out NBCSN as a cable channel available, but they've got the Olympics. They haven't really replaced Bob Costas as a pseudo host for everything. There's a nice piece of real estate for Maria Taylor to totally dominate for NBC.
Mike, they have Sunday Night Football.
Yeah, that's
they have Notre Dame football.
Notre Dame football, yeah. The Olympics is massive. They're putting a bunch of sports exclusively on Peacock. Yeah, no, they got a lot of properties.
ESPN is really trying to keep her, though. And what I'm telling you is we're now going to be faced with the Game 6 scenario of she will tell you whether there's enough money in the world. Because everything that's happened has been to this leverage point. You never see this happen where we're all disposable. Kenny Mayne just was offered a 61% pay cut. There are very few people that they are really trying to keep because we're all very disposable. They've realized that the reason prices are dying is because ESPN doesn't really have any real competitors anymore. They don't have to worry about it. And they can just say, we've been overpaying for years. We can get rid of all of you. None of you matter except for a couple of you. But she's one that does. She has made herself over the last 18 months somebody that they're really trying to keep, because they didn't try to keep Ariel Helwani. They didn't try to keep Kenny Mayne. You can really try to keep somebody. And what I'm telling you, she's about to make a decision that looks like, I don't know what's going to happen here at the final moments, but looks like there's not enough money in the world, given what's happened over the last 24 months.
Well, not enough of ESPN's money, right?
But that's what I'm saying. Like, right. What I'm telling you is that ESPN is the most incentivized to pay her
correct. The
absolute best. And Disney Plus has made a real killing. Disney is now running ESPN in a way that's much more hands-on than it's been.
And ESPN Plus is actually going up in price. Plan is to put more sports properties on that. Thankfully, the bundle's staying at the same price because out of all the streaming services that I'm subscribed to, I use ESPN Plus the least right now.
We probably shouldn't end on that note.
What? A personal story?
Just I use ESPN Plus the least right now is probably not the way to use that.
Well, the way the algorithm works because of Megaphone, our hosting site, is the chances are higher than most that take is going to be directly followed by an advertisement for ESPN Plus.
That's the way to end the show.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.